Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as we heard in our gospel reading today, the Pharisees were mad at Jesus. They had been for quite a while. They long had judged him to be just way too lax in the way he kept the Sabbath. And also they took offense, as we hear in our reading today, with the company that he kept. Matthew and Zacchaeus, both of them tax collectors. And Mary, the demonized woman. These were three named persons from among the many that the Pharisees looked down their noses at and condemned as sinners. And yet, Jesus ate with these people. He spent time teaching them. And some of them became his followers. But the Pharisees found this scandalous. For in their eyes, no rabbi should associate himself with such people, lest he become infected by their lawless disease. One day, a group of Pharisees lost their patience with Jesus, and they grumbled to him. As we heard today in our reading, Jesus answered their grumbling with parables. Parables that were aimed at explaining his ways to them. What does a shepherd do when he loses a sheep? Well, he searches until he finds it, and then he rejoices over the rescue of his precious animal. And what does a woman do if she loses a coin from her dowry? She scours her entire house until she finds that prized possession. And then she too rejoices. And how do God and his heavenly hosts respond when one sinner comes home through repenting of sin and believing in Jesus? With joy, they respond. It was as if Jesus said to these men, "Grumbly Pharisees, where is your joy? When you see me eat and drink with these men and women and then teach them the ways of God's kingdom and they repent and believe in me, why don't you rejoice with us?" They were lost. They could no more find themselves than a sheep can find its way back to its flock, or a coin can roll its way back to the place from where it fell. That's what I was sent from heaven to do, to seek and to save the lost. Come, join our rejoicing. Well, Christians like you and me would like to join in the joy of sinners' salvation too, wouldn't we? But today's cultural landscape seems very different to us than that of Jesus. Jesus sought lost sinners instead of joining the Pharisees in keeping their distance from such people. He called them to repentance, and some of them believed and were saved and found. Today, though, people have dropped the word sin from their vocabulary almost completely. And they do not believe that they are sinners. They will acknowledge that they are not perfect, but most people think that they are more good than bad. They believe that they can improve themselves through their own determined effort. But they sure don't take kindly if someone comes along to help them by telling them where to focus their efforts. They believe in themselves, and that only they have the right to judge themselves. Are they lost and waiting for someone to seek and find them? They certainly don't think so. So, in a situation like this, is it any wonder that so many churches are shrinking in attendance? This generation is not shopping for anything that we have to offer them. How then do we reach out to people who do not believe that they need help from the Lord? Well, Jesus' parables that we heard today are a good place for us to start. Through them, he corrected what the Pharisees believed about tax collectors and sinners, themselves and Jesus. Jesus' parables cast new light on the tax collectors and sinners, those people the Pharisees liked to condemn, by presenting them not merely as rebels or lawbreakers, but as lost ones, belonging to someone who cared for them and wanted to find them. Both the shepherd and the housewife alike searched tirelessly until they found what they had lost. Their joy in the success of their searches is the joy of God when one of his fallen children returns home to him. That heavenly joy that Jesus spoke of exposed the sin that hid in the hearts of those men who grumbled at Jesus for eating with sinners. It called them to repent of their proud self-righteousness and to believe that Jesus also came to seek and to save them, because they too were lost. Lost in the illusion that they were better than everybody else. Through these parables, Jesus also corrects our beliefs and our self-confident and, he corrects our beliefs about our neighbors around us who seem to us very self-confident, like they don't need help from God. It also corrects our beliefs about ourselves and about our Lord. We like to talk about being progressive today, don't we? As if what was in the past was all worse than what is coming in the future. And so when we hear that from people that, well, it is after all 2019, as if somehow that is all that we have to say. The fact is, people who have this sort of confidence in themselves to improve themselves are actually, according to God's word, they're just as lost as anybody else. We hear that in God's word, but instead of believing that, we all too often accept what other people think about themselves as the truth. The flamboyant pride that we see in people today makes us ashamed of Jesus. So we don't bother to tell them about him. Or sometimes, and this can be even worse, we try to tell them about some dolled up version of Jesus that we think will be acceptable to them with their views today. But ask yourself this. When Jesus was faced with opposition from the Pharisees, was he ashamed? Why not? Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is God in human flesh. If we allow the arrogance of people who do not believe to shame us, and we submit to their belief that they're okay and we're okay, then we walk back into the darkness. The truth is not in us, and we are just as lost as anybody else. But you know, Jesus is just like the man and the woman in his parables. He never stopped seeking for the lost ones. When he died on the cross, Jesus completed the work God sent him to do on earth. He who had never fallen into sin was made to be all the world's sin there on the cross. The power that always tries to drive us away from God into the vain pursuit of self-satisfaction pressed down hard on Jesus as he hung crucified. All the anger of his Father assaulted him as he suffered in our place. At Golgotha, Jesus took the place of all who were, who are, and who will ever be lost in their sin. Like the seeking shepherd, he found us in the shadow of the cross, laid us upon his shoulders, and he carried us into death and the grave with him. And on the third day, Jesus was raised from the dead to the sound of heavenly joy. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Easter dawned with such great joy because God's Son, who was lost and dead, lives forevermore to seek and to find all the lost sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. Jesus finds us in our shame and fear, thinking that, well, we better not say anything about Jesus or we'll be in trouble. And he forgives us for our cowardice. He says, "Peace be with you." His words lay again the foundation in our hearts to live by faith with him. We were lost, but Jesus came looking for us and found us. From him we receive the personal identity for which God created human beings. We are God's baptized, spirit-born children, his sons and daughters. And in the supper of Jesus' body and blood, we eat and drink the meal that feeds and confirms us in the faith life by the power of God's word and spirit. Through Christ and by his Spirit, we fear, love, and trust God as our Father above anyone else. He is the true one. We trust in his word. And we daily pray to him, giving thanks and praise for all of his good gifts. Jesus gives us true purpose for living our lives here. He calls us to love our neighbors as he loves us. The love of Jesus imitates or moves us to imitate our Lord by seeking those who are lost. By ourselves, of course, we cannot find or save anyone. But the call of Jesus to bear witness to him in conversation with our neighbors is not a call to solo work. He promises us power to speak his word with faith and love. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Those words he spoke to his first apostles, but those words continue to hold the same promise and truth for all Christ's disciples of all ages. The Spirit is with us to help us to speak God's truth in love. As we speak his word to our neighbors, Jesus speaks to them through us. He seeks them through his word to find them. Paul, in another one of his letters, he describes the word of God as being living and active, like a double-edged sword that can cut and divide. And we've experienced that, where the word of God helps us to see something inside ourselves that we didn't see before. Perhaps an attitude towards somebody that we thought was quite justified. And then we see that, no, that's a hateful attitude we need to confess. The word of God, the word we've been given to speak about Jesus, reaches out and helps people to come, to first of all, to see their need, that they truly are lost, and then to see that Jesus is the shepherd who finds them. As I was reading this week, I came across a paragraph that I want to share with you that I found really helpful in thinking about our work as Jesus' witnesses. It's written by a professor from the seminary in St. Louis, Dr. David Schmidt. He says this: Jesus will be working in our feeble and misguided efforts to reach out to the world. He governs our words and our deeds, no matter how awkward they might seem to us. Since he knows who are lost, he can name them and claim them in ways that we can never fully be able to imagine. Trusting in his deep, divine, concrete love, that ability to speak the word which takes root in the heart and sends shoots through the soul, gives us courage as we enter the world. We speak our Savior's word and watch as he searches for those for whom he has come. Jesus has died. He has risen. And he has ascended to heaven in order to call his own home. So have no fear, little flock of God's children. But show and tell your neighbors of the one who seeks us because we are lost without him. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.